This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Homeroom 2025. Welcome to the new world. Welcome to the jungle, as Axl Rose said back in the 80s. I don't know. It's going to be a fun year, though. It's going to be a lot of pencil busting. But, man, I am so glad to see both of you guys back in homeroom after such a wonderful holiday break. Well, not necessarily for all of us, but, you know, people out there, listeners too, if you have been, you know, doing your things over the holidays, glad you had a great time. Don't forget 608-557-8577. That's still the Busted Pencils mailbag line in 2025. Let us know, man. Hey, go back, listen to our predictions show. Check it out. Let us know what you think. If you think we're off base, tell us what you think your predictions are for 2025. But anyway, Jess, Johnny, so glad to see you guys. Jess, how are you?
I'm doing really well, Tim. You know, I am just so happy to be here to start the year, start the week with you two educated educators in homeroom. This is the best way to get our bearings for the week, get a bit of a flavor of what this week is going to bring. And I have to tell you, I know you said, you know, we had a great break. I hope people had a great break. I'm looking forward to maybe taking a little bit of time off within this month, but it's finally acting like winter in Wisconsin. The sweaters are out. It is cozy season. Things are good. So glad to be here with you and get started for a great year of busting pencils.
Nice. Dr. Johnny, how are you, my friend?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. It's 2025. Got a lot of snow. I've been out snowboarding, getting ready for my classes to start up though next week, Tim. So jumping back in and excited to have classroom all back rolling, being on that routine. I know so many of our teachers out there squeezing out these last days of break. Mm-hmm. Probably back to school for them as this drops, you know, this is a homeroom first kickoff, first week back in class. So it's good. You know, it's going well, Tim. It's a good break for me. Jess, I know over at Civic Media, you producers, you know, and folks operating the boards, there's no break for the chairwoman of the board.
No, we are essential.
Absolutely.
Keeps the heart beating for sure. Well, you know, homeroom here, lots of things going on as we come into this, but, you know, time to talk a little bit about the fact that, you know, the Department of Education, we're hearing a lot about the Department of Education coming into 2025 because President-elect Trump, you know, a few days away, well, a couple weeks away before that becomes official, but ran on the idea or the promise to close the Department of Education. And thinking about that going, I don't think there's ever been such a serious threat as there is now. But thinking of the Department of Education, we have to say and give thanks and remember, though, where the Department of Education came from, whose responsibility it was. And there he was. President Jimmy Carter, elected in 1976, 1979, the approval and the put forth of the Department of Education. And over this holiday break, Jimmy Carter, at 100 years old, passed away. So I thought, Johnny, Jess, you know, do a little remembering, but compliments and saying, you know, the Department of Education, Jimmy Carter, 100 years old, as people say, probably one, if not the best past president, occupying all those years from 1980 to 2025, out there doing all of those things, you know, still, as they said, some of the stories, you know, living in, again, his home, never really wanting to upgrade it. And in fact, largely when it came to appliances in his house. This was one of the little stories I was reading about the reflection on Jimmy Carter. Never wanted to buy new appliances, always had to get them repaired because he just didn't want to indulge and spend the money. I tell you what, though, when my garbage disposal goes, no. I want a new one because I am fixing it. So unlike Jimmy Carter, but I will say all of the work that he did with Habitat for Humanity too, have to really give him lots of kudos for that. And in fact, you know, gave me some inspiration. And one summer I did some Habitat for Humanity work and incredibly rewarding. So Jimmy Carter, though, Department of Education, Johnny, I was saying this, it was then very quickly after the Department of Education. I mean, Ronald Reagan in 1980 also ran on the platform plank of getting rid of the Department of Education. Here it is now, 2025. It's lasted this long. Jimmy Carter tribute. Is it going to continue? Johnny, your thoughts?
Well, that's a lot, Tim. Jimmy Carter certainly, you know, lived a full life, 100-year-old. You know, I would say not only defender, but embodiment of democracy worldwide, especially here in the United States, best representing us in so many ways. And of course, he was president, but I think probably for me, best known for his efforts outside of his presidency. Nothing against his presidential run. I mean, he was powerful in that role. But wow, just we talk a lot in here about you know, rhetoric of violent political discourse. You know, the level it's gotten to, like, and when I say that, I mean, it's been lowered so far to such a violent discourse. You know, Jimmy Carter was an embodiment of peaceful discourse and peace, not being passivity, being a real defender of democracy, being real empathetic, but firm. And just what a command of language in the realm of democracy and peacekeeping. So I think the legacy lives on.
Yeah.
Right. And I think there's so much for us to turn to and learn from his full life. And we're thinking about a man who went to school before schools were integrated, right? In a segregated school system with a commitment and vision to desegregation, who lost elections early in his career based on his political positions to support integration and public education being a great equalizer, right? The best for everyone. Sort of a phrase that really came forward. And I would say, you know, in some contexts, really pioneered by the political career of Jimmy Carter. And so, you know, I think about it when we talk about federal policy on busted pencils, which we do. We go pretty hard on the Department of Education, certainly not an effort to see it closed, but to just kind of highlight the ways that federal policy impacts our local schools. And, you know, Tim, what I was 2 years old, I won't say how old you were, but in 1980, you're right, the U.S. Department of Education came into existence. We're talking about, though, under the leadership of a man who went to school in very segregated schools, who believed in a vision that was different, right? Who came into his presidency at a time when, you know, the country really not only needed to grow, but was growing, was making significant strides in civil rights efforts. So to see his stuff, man, you know, remembered, I'm happy to be part of that, remembering him, and to continue to learn from and try and, you know, embody, especially that discourse and peace effort. I mean, other thing too, I'm not thinking we're talking too much about, but, you know, we are in the throes of a very complicated and politically violent language around, but also real violence on the ground in Israel and Palestine. And there is some really amazing work from Jimmy Carter's legacy,
right,
to talk about peace, not apartheid, to really talk about what we can do as a world to be better democratically together. So obviously you can tell I'm a big fan. Educationally, you know, we don't always think about Jimmy Carter as education president, but well, he sure did a lot.
He did a lot. I mean, think about too, the Department of Education, why such a strong federal presence? And Johnny, you pointed out, you know, what he grew up in the segregated South and the desegregation that was, you know, coming out of the civil rights movement. And, you know, very much the whole idea of states' rights, and some states saying, you know, we're not going to comply. And so the idea that here, you know, saying, do you need a strong federal hand when it comes to public education? Well, when it comes to enforcing civil rights, yes, we do. And so even just that, the legacy of the fact that we have a strong federal connection to making sure that civil rights are upheld in our public schools, let's continue to do that. And you know what? It's going to be interesting. I don't really see any success in the Trump administration in doing this. I think it was something they got elected on. They're going to float the bill. It's not going to happen because guess what? He actually still himself wants a strong federal presence so that he can inflict as much pain and damage on public schools as he can. And if there's not a strong federal presence, he can't do that. So I don't believe that's going to happen. Johnny, you're talking about violence, though. And I'm thinking right now, you know what? Our buddy, make a little transition here. Our buddy from Oklahoma, Ryan Walters, a few days ago, of course, you know, he didn't he let me down, or I don't say he let me down, but President-elect Trump, I put Ryan Walters out there as the top nominee for Secretary of Education. I was willing to bet a farm that I didn't own that he was going to get that nomination. He didn't. Linda McMahon did. Ryan kind of disappeared. I thought, man, he must be licking his wounds. He's scared. He's upset. You know what, though? Here he is. He's back. He comes back, releases a video, one of those fun videos that people like to take of themselves when they're in their car. He makes the point. And boy, what a horrible, violent kind of, again, positioning our neighbors, our friends, teachers this time, teachers' unions, as terrorists.
Yeah.
Terrorists. Right after we have the attack in New Orleans on Bourbon Street to kind of come back. And I'm sorry, he really did try to make the point in it, making a linkage that terrorists are somehow thriving in America because of teachers and teachers' unions. And that even potentially subtly suggesting that the terrorist attack in New Orleans could be blamed on teachers and teachers' unions. There you go. There's that language, Johnny, and the implications and the indications for people listening that now teachers are the targets. This is him again saying, hey, look, when Linda McMahon doesn't get the nomination, I'm still here. I want it. This is frightening, though, the idea that teachers are creating terrorists.
Well, Tim, it's right in line with the strategy utilized by, you know, fascists. And I'm going to call it, and I reserve that word really carefully for people who are behaving in this way, who are saying these extreme things and mapping dissent and thinking critically and learning about our history and understanding that a better world is possible, obtainable, and desirable, are in some way violent to community. And that's just not the case, right? And so to put that word of terrorism onto teachers and onto essentially then young people, it's sort of par for the course for the fascists to say, hey, young folks see a very possible different future, and we want to squash that out in the most extreme ways and violent ways possible. So to label them as terrorists not only says they're enemies, but says that they're violent enemies and ought to be dealt with in such a way. So it's aligned with that effort. And it's absolutely, it should be pointed out, as absolutely the opposite of a discourse of Jimmy Carter's, use of language and democracy, because it does not promote peace. Part of democracy and peace isn't everybody agreeing, but it's working together to find solutions, and they're almost always temporary. The best next thing. Jimmy Carter was a strong proponent of go slow. Figure this out together. Listen. Figure out how we can improve, whether it's our schools, our communities, our healthcare systems. And remember, early on, and this is the role of dialogue, this is the role of teachers' unions, But we come back to the Department of Education, the birth of the Department of Education, formally in 1980, but already in sort of discussions previous to that. You know, teachers unions were against it. They later came on board with it through discussion, through dissent, through dialogue, through thinking critically about what it could do to move from, you know, essentially every state on their own, anything goes education-wise in this country, to a more, hey, how do we come together to have some organization and influence from federal government, but not power in the same way that states will have? So let's maintain state power, but let's also have a real organizational, you know, office for fundings, for policies, for recommendations, for research, for all of these things. These are all things that help us make better informed decisions when we don't all agree, and we shouldn't all agree. So, you know, the fast move by a fascist politician is to quickly move things to violence and fear. Not something that we should all see as a red flag in any politician on any side of the political spectrum. If the move linguistically, if the language is very quickly escalated to words like these are terrorists or, you know, these are threats to our country, when they are the exact opposite, they will only make us stronger and better to understand how to have peaceful dissent. And I don't mean passivity, right? But I really mean like informed dissent. Say, hey, I disagree with this. It's not in the best interest of my community, or our state, or our nation, right? To be able to say that, to be able to be heard, and to be able to work with others towards possible solutions. I mean, if we're remembering Jimmy Carter, this was one of his many extremely successful skill sets, being able to say, hey, let's figure this out. And to me, as a union guy, you know, reminding our union friends who work creatively all the time to influence schools, right? That the formation of the Department of Education was in conversations with our teachers' unions, initially opposed to them, right? But brought together to say, hey, this would be a place where democratically, as a nation, we would help make decisions to inform what schools can be like for everyone in this country. And they were integral, as you said, and I call them like civil rights initiatives, right? But they were integral in so many ways to strengthening our public schools. They were also integral in some ways of harming our public schools, because everything is not all good. And that's the thing I want to remind our listeners, and for us to kind of highlight, that I think Jimmy Carter would want us to remember, is nothing is all in, all perfect. That's the beauty of democracy. We have to have everyone's voice valued and part of the conversation towards the common good. Because if decisions are to be made by those directly impacted by the decisions, then we have to have those conversations to get there. If we don't have those conversations, in a sense, we don't learn to disagree with each other in productive and generative ways, then we've got big problems. And that's where fascists capitalize. They get in there and they say, this is too violent, this is scary, this is dangerous. Just do it my way.
Do it my way.
Just do it my way. Let me be in charge, you know, and it's a slippery slope to a kind of strange dictatorship that I don't think anyone in any political party really in the masses seeks to have. So no. I'm remembering Jimmy Carter today and this week as I'm teaching, Tim, because it's a strong reminder, his legacy being a strong reminder to find peaceful, not pacifist, but peaceful dissent. Those two words can go together, peaceful dissent, right? To fascist language, fascist policy, and just the sheer audacity that anyone has to capitalize on a tragedy like what happened in New Orleans politically, to blame teachers and essentially young people for this. Oh, I'm just disgusted by it. But remember, hey, take a deep breath and work through democracy to listen and say, it's a sign that something's really broken. And what do we have to do? We have to put best information we have forward to figure out how to be better and do better locally, nationally, and globally. We can do it, man.
We can do it. And now for your moment of zen. I started studying history with one view in mind: to look for answers to the issues and problems I saw in the world about me.
Hey, listeners, thanks for tuning in. You know, class in session will be out this Wednesday. Make sure you download it. Make sure you listen. And make sure to hear about our latest in free throws and face-offs on Friday. So tune in for a full hour of Busted Pencils this Saturday at 3 p.m. across all the Civic Media talk stations. We got a full year ahead of us, folks. Let's keep busting pencils.